WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is criticizing polls of his first 100 days in office. An ABC News Washington Post poll finds his approval rating sits at 39%, a record low. But the White House is touting success in the area of the border. Tom Homan, the White House border czar, said,
"If you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall." And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over.
President also announced a two-week deadline for Russia and Ukraine to make a deal for ending their war. That's after his meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky Saturday prior to Pope Francis's funeral. The Vatican set the date for the conclave to choose the next pope. It'll take place on Wednesday, May 7th. Canadians go to the polls today. President Trump's comments have become an issue in the national election to choose a prime minister as mourning continues for the 11 people killed in the vehicle ramming in Vancouver Saturday. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced the distribution of nearly $1.7 million across the state for Wisconsin Fast Forward Worker Training Grants. 14 organizations across the state will receive a portion of the funding to train 760 workers, including Fraser Shipyards in Douglas County. The Wisconsin Fast Forward Grant Program is meant to help companies in fields like construction, healthcare, and transportation cover the cost of training new workers in critical fields facing shortages across the state. A group of Wisconsin lawmakers are calling for the Trump administration to allow more access to federal data. The letter was signed by 12 Republicans and one Democratic state lawmaker, claiming a dispute between the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the Department of Defense, and the Department of Veterans Affairs is preventing them from using a federal data sharing tool. The lawmakers say they want to use the tool to identify Wisconsin veterans enrolled in the state Medicaid program who may also be eligible for Department of Veterans Affairs benefits. The Washburn County Area Humane Society will be hosting a vaccine and microchip clinic for dogs and cats in Spooner later this week. The Humane Society will be offering affordable rabies vaccinations and microchips for pets on Saturday. Officials are reminding pet owners that rabies vaccinations are legally required for dogs and cats and help prevent the spread of the dangerous disease. They're also reminding pet owners that microchips could help them reunite with their lost pets quickly if they're taken in by animal control or a shelter. A routine eviction proceeding in Burnett County last month became a major drug investigation. According to court documents, 52-year-old Laura Chamberlain of Grantsburg and 36-year-old Zachary Chafee of Mora, Minnesota, were evicted from the former Red Stag Saloon on Main Street in Grantsburg on March 16th. During the eviction, local authorities allegedly discovered a secret DMT drug lab inside the establishment. Authorities say they seized various suspected illegal substances, firearms, and drug manufacturing equipment at the site. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. We had 8 picks, feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Monday, April 28th, coming up after the 9:30 news.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still getting used to the hours.
Yeah.
It's throwing me a little bit.
You did it earlier today. You said, do you want to do this at 11:30? And then you said 10:30. My brain went, yeah, 11:30. Wait, why did you say 10:30?
What?
Yep, it all makes sense.
Not quite a full week since we've had the new lineup across Civic Media. We moved up an hour. So we are on the air now from 9 to 11. So coming up at 9:30.
Yes.
After the 9:30 news, Joseph Pecky will be here. Political consultant, friend of the show, friend of Civic Media. And now also putting his hat in the running to take over from Ben Wickler here in Wisconsin and the head of the Democratic Party.
It's going to be great to hear from him and his message. I know we've had Joe on so many times, and he's been all over the Civic Media Network. If you know Joe, you know what his attitude is towards voting, towards the party, towards getting work done.
Yes.
And I'll say it to him then, and I'll say it now. I feel like the model that Ben Wickler has designed will be in safe hands with Joe. But we want to hear from all people. We want to know what's going on. Yep. So it'll be great to hear from him after 9:30.
Yep. Joe is coming up next hour. Will Westmoreland is coming back. He has a channel on YouTube called The Back 40. Mm-hmm. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri. And we had talked to him a couple of months back when he went viral, responding to a young farmer who was very concerned about all the freezes under the Trump administration.
Yes.
And in particular, there were particular farming programs where farmers were encouraged to invest in various things, whether it be solar or other things. And a lot of these projects are underway and were already underway when that money got frozen.
Yeah.
So Will was responding to this young farmer, and I'm just curious to see how things are now. That was about 2 months ago that we talked to him.
Yeah, I want to say that I want to hold out for optimism, but I don't know at this point. What I do know is that Will, he did exactly the right thing. He opened the channel for a dialogue.
Yes.
Didn't make fun of the guy.
No.
Didn't do anything. Just said, hey, talk to me. Let's talk.
Well, and the other thing that I think is really impactful, and he said, I don't expect you to say that you were wrong if you voted for Donald Trump or that you got duped.
Yeah.
All I'm asking is that you admit that you got lied to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So we will be talking to Will after the 10 o'clock news. And then at 10:33, I'm still, it's not even a full week yet.
And when you said 10 o'clock, I'm like,
what?
Back in my day, this show started at 10 a.m.
Yeah. After Will joins us at 10:30 is the segment that has developed into audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Just kind of organically, where we lighten things up a little bit so we can take a break and take a breath and get away from the news just for a little bit. The nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been announced. Everybody's got complaints. Everybody's got favorites who haven't been in yet. So that's what we're talking about at 10:33. One of your favorite bands who hasn't made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet. You have a whole list, don't you?
No. It is applicable to this conversation, this class, everything from 2025. I have thoughts.
All right, then. That will be after 10:30. Think about your bands, your favorite band that you would like to see in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're still languishing somewhere on the sidelines. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Climb Every Mountain edition, literally.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. As we mentioned when we just joined Pat Kreitler's show at the very end there, we wanted to start off with talking about Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan, who was arrested on Friday in Milwaukee on allegations that she tried to help an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest after he appeared in her courtroom. Judge Dugan was charged with two felonies. Then she was later released.
Yeah.
In a 13-page complaint, the judge is accused of obstructing a U.S. agency and concealing Eduardo Flores Ruiz, a Mexican immigrant, to prevent his arrest. The two charges against Dugan carry a maximum of 6 years in prison and a $350,000 fine. This is all over the place. This obviously hit national news on Friday when this happened. And there have been not really many developments since then. But I have noticed in some articles, depending upon where it's sourced from, they're missing a couple details.
And that, you know, you say that because I felt I was pretty up to speed on this. And then this morning, Pat talked about this topic as well. And he brought them some things to light where I'm like, wait,
what?
And then you talked about it with me this morning before the show. And yeah, there are news outlets and we're not talking left and right and, you know, OAN versus CNN. We're talking about just newspapers.
Right.
Who are leaving out what details, Jane?
Well, they're leaving out that. So Judge Dugan is accused of allowing this suspect and his attorney to exit a different door.
Yeah.
It still led into the public area outside of her courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't some super secret hallway that led him out the building.
Yeah.
So he was never seen by anyone. It was a different hallway, not typically used by the public, but it still entered out into the public area outside of her courtroom. There were ICE agents in there who saw him.
Mm-hmm.
There was an ICE agent who rode in the elevator with this man and his attorney down to the ground floor and then out onto the street where he was then taken into custody. In at least a couple of articles that I've seen, those details aren't there.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
That's very important because it really allows the obstruction of justice charge to really crumble, honestly, when it comes down to it. People have been calling for the imprisonment for life of the judge, and people have been saying, how dare she, and this and that. It's like, I'm not really, someone else show me what she did so wrong other than just show them a different door. And it wasn't wrong, it's just what she did. And the ICE agents just didn't arrest him until he was outside.
Yes. That's my understanding. Again, this is an ongoing situation. This is an ongoing story, but that's just something that really jumped out at me.
Yeah.
Depending upon what article you read.
Yeah.
Details, my
they
friend.
Very much of, matter.
It's kind of important. And I stumbled upon a couple of letters to the editor in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which I think are interesting to get a sense of what people are thinking about this. This letter to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says the important question at the heart of this case is one of due process.
Mm-hmm.
The Milwaukee County Courthouse judges want federal agents to bring federal judge issued warrants to court if they want to detain someone in the courthouse. ICE, according to the complaint, brought its own warrant, not one from a judge.
Yes, correct.
There is a distinction there. In recent days, the Federal Justice Department has acknowledged mistakes in deporting people it has deported. It seems not terribly worried about those mistakes. It's not a surprise that a judge, federal or state, would not want to be party to such a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
If Ace was so certain it had evidence to arrest that suspect, it should have been easy to get a federal warrant from a judge,
Yeah.
Every one of us should be worried about a legal search, seizure, and detention. Any judge would want to uphold those protections in his or her courtroom. That's a letter from Kathy from Whitefish Bay.
We had someone on the live stream saying that none of this information changes anything. And that is a legal question I would love to ask Jim Santel. If what we're looking at from the story is that she literally opened a door and led him into a place where he was visible to those agents, they were in the same room in the elevator. Where is there an obstruction charge? Where did she obstruct justice in any way, shape, or form other than nothing? I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see anything here.
Another letter to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is from Alex in Milwaukee. All persons have a constitutional right to due process, including non-citizens and persons accused of crimes. Mm-hmm. This right to have your day in court is so important it may at times trump other important government processes. That is democracy. The problem with ICE arresting persons at the courthouse is that people can be lured there under the process of due process just to be arrested. Let ICE chase down people anywhere else but the courthouse. Don't make judges part of the system of deception. You're asking them to violate their oath of office to defend the Constitution by denying due process. Again, this is a letter, an opinion letter, mm-hmm. sent into the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
Yep.
And finally, the Republicans who support Trump and his policies have zero credibility when they talk about law and order. He's a convicted felon.
Yes, he is.
Who pardoned violent protesters who tried to derail democracy. And when the Trump policies conflict with our community's values, the latter should predominate. The courthouse is the haven for members of our community seeking safety and justice. To compromise access by intimidation is disgraceful. And Kathy from Milwaukee also says, I feel like the actions of the federal government were outrageous. Justice isn't their intention. Intimidation is.
And punishment.
And I saw some other articles as well. Donald Trump was charged with 34 felonies.
Yes, he was.
They didn't perp walk him. They didn't show up somewhere and put him in cuffs.
No.
They did to Judge Dugan.
Yeah.
It's my understanding, and again, Jim Santel, who is an attorney, they could have just said, we need you in court at 2 o'clock today on this subject. On this action.
Yeah.
That seems very performative.
That was the exact word I was looking for, James. This is performative. This is what, and honestly, that is what it's been almost this entire time, making these grand sweeping actions that make him look like the heroes of the day, saving America from these total terrorists and criminals who some aren't, some may be, some are American citizens now we're seeing, this is turning into a fiasco. And where does it stop? And there are people on the live stream and people in the text line who are telling us how wrong we are. But I ask the question, do you feel so comfortable as to say it's fine? Because one day they can knock on your door for whatever reason they want. I'm really not trying to scare you either. It frightens me. But the notion that if they can make quote unquote mistakes, when am I going to be that mistake? When are you going to be the? When is a law-abiding, mega faithful not going to be enough? Or, you know, just. Mm-mm.
Well, and speaking of mistakes, Gilmar Abrego Garcia is still in El Salvador, we think.
Yeah.
Senator John Kennedy on TV over the weekend said he's never coming back ever.
Oh, that's
he's never, ever coming back. It was a mistake. They deported him mistakenly. But now it's too late, and yeah, oh well, so sad.
And I believe Pam Bondi and, the White House press secretary have said the same
Carolyn
thing.
Carolyn Leavitt.
Never coming back. They'll never be back in this country again. Okay, well, I hope you're wrong, but I wouldn't be, don't, yeah. Mm. I think that, yeah, this is all performative, but unfortunately the performance is harming lives and family and our democracy.
Maggie Dawn is going to be talking more about this. The latest from the Judge Dugan arrest in Milwaukee and other headlines later on today. Join Maggie today from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Joseph Pecky will be joining us, political consultant, also with his hat in the ring to take over from Ben Wickler to head up the Wisconsin Democrats. We'll be talking to Joe after the 9:30 news, so stick around for that. This is something that we wanted to talk about for at least a week, and it kept getting bumped because so many things happen.
The news.
The news continues to news. But this is important, yes. And it came up yesterday. 60 Minutes. This was from last week from CNN. 60 Minutes executive producer resigns, citing a loss of independence in the wake of Trump lawsuit. In case you have forgotten, Donald Trump sued 60 Minutes over an interview with Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like the way they edited it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. He also had a problem with 60 Minutes. When he felt that the interview Leslie Stahl did with Joe Biden was softball questions. The problem was Leslie Stahl didn't interview Joe Biden. So, like, he's had a problem with 60 Minutes for a while now.
He has a problem with anyone who doesn't essentially make him look, you know, how he wants to look.
Shane, what am I thinking? You're right.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah.
So this executive producer stepped down.
Legendary
60 Minutes producer. And of course, Trump has repeatedly called for the network to lose its license. He wants the FCC to punish the broadcaster. Ultimately, 60 Minutes did give the Trump administration the full transcript and video of this interview to the FCC. And Trump and Paramount this month agreed on a mediator.
Wow.
in the lawsuit. Just like we're seeing law firms around the country capitulate.
Yep.
This is kind of what we're seeing with some of our media outlets.
Yep. He's just going to... Trump, Donald John Trump is a bully. And the only way bullies win is when they push and push and you finally give them your lunch money. And we're seeing that from world leaders. We're seeing that from networks. We're seeing that from businesses. He wants his little way. Baby got to have his bottle. And now he's getting it with 60 Minutes, which, you know, completely such a left-wing liberal media outlet. Yes. 60 Minutes says, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We do have some sound.
Yes, we do. This was the 60-minute, the last minute from last night's episode. Please remind me of
Scott Pelley.
Scott Pelley did the last minute, and he basically gave the layout of what's going on here. Calvin, can you please play that clip?
In tonight's last minute, a note on Bill Owens, who until this past week was executive producer of 60 Minutes. He was our boss. Bill was with CBS News nearly 40 years, 26 years at 60 Minutes. He covered the world, covered combat, the White House. His was a quest to open minds, not close them. If you've ever worked hard for a boss because you admired him, then you understand what we've enjoyed here. Bill resigned Tuesday. It was hard on him and hard on us, but he did it for us and you. Stories we pursued for 57 years are often controversial. Lately, the Israel-Gaza war and the Trump administration. Bill made sure they were accurate and fair. He was tough that way. But our parent company, Paramount, is trying to complete a merger.
Oh.
The Trump administration must approve it.
Oh.
Paramount began to supervise our content in new ways. None of our stories has been blocked, but Bill felt he lost the independence that honest journalism requires. No one here is happy about it, but in resigning, Bill proved one thing. He was the right person to lead 60 Minutes all along.
Man has integrity.
Yeah. I mean, you work for a show that long. That is his baby. Bill Owens, like I said, is a legend, especially with that show. But he left before they could tell him what to do because it's the wrong thing to do. And they haven't censored their stories yet. And shame on Paramount for doing what they've done, because this is the first step.
Well, and I think it's really absurd for people to think that just because the bully got your lunch money once, he's not going to ask for your lunch money again and again and again and again. Bill from Oconomowoc, you get the last word before we wrap things up before the news. Bill, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Well, Trump picked the fight with the wrong people, the judicial side of our government. And if you want to upset people, upset some attorneys. And you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And Matt Flynn and Jim Santel can back me on what I'm talking about. Trump is vulnerable. And when the right guy shows up, it's over, Rober. And there's going to be a message. Comply or resign.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you checking in.
I mean, right now, it's the lawyers. We've talked to Jim Santel about this. It's the lawyers and the judges who are standing up for our Constitution, our democracy, and our process. So,
We need an independent media, my friends.
Yes, we do.
No matter who's in office.
Correct.
No matter who is in office. All right, we have news coming up next. And then when we return, friend of the show, and now running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Joseph Heckey will be here, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A study conducted by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found that the number of students struggling with homelessness in the state is increasing. According to the study, there were over 20,000 public school students identified as homeless during the 2023-2024 school year, the highest mark since 2019. The total was a roughly 9% increase over the previous year, despite the total number of enrolled students dropping by over 1%. Studies show homeless students face additional educational barriers and have lower average attendance rates. A Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge was arrested by the FBI on Friday morning. Judge Hannah Dugan is facing obstruction charges after being accused of helping an undocumented immigrant evade ICE agents during a courthouse arrest operation last week. In a later deleted social media post, FBI Director Kash Patel accused Judge Dugan of intentionally misdirecting federal agents attempting to apprehend a Mexican national, Eduardo Flores Ruiz, who was later captured. Patel claimed Dugan's alleged actions created increased danger to the public. Prosecutors have officially filed charges against a suspect in connection to a stabbing death and arson in Duluth last July. According to court documents, 25-year-old Tyler Walter Edwards was charged with second-degree murder and first-degree arson in the death of 25-year-old Maxton Gudowski on July 25th. Authorities found Gudowski as they responded to reports of an apartment fire, and he was pronounced deceased at the scene. They determined Gudowski had been stabbed over 30 times, and various accelerants were found in the apartment. A Hayward man facing drug charges in Barron County Circuit Court has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, 39-year-old Joseph St. Germain entered a guilty plea to possession with intent to deliver methamphetamine and operating with a restricted controlled substance in March. Other charges were read in but dismissed as part of a plea deal. St. Germain was sentenced to a year and a half in prison and 3.5 years of extended supervision, but could serve a 12-year sentence if he violates the conditions of his probation. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Two Hollywood movers and shakers are about to get even busier as they team up for a new psychological thriller. American Hostage is a new series from MGM Plus and will star John Hamm, and Sean Ryan will executive produce. The show is set in the 70s and follows Hamm's character, who is a reporter forced to interview a hostage taker in the middle of a crisis. Hamm is currently starring in Your Friends and Neighbors, and Ryan recently executive produced and wrote The Night Agent. Pamela Anderson's recent film, The Last Showgirl, brought her critical praise and some Oscar buzz, but it did not result in a nomination. Not sure if it's a snub or not, but according to the New York Post, it motivated the Baywatch actress to retaliate by moving to Massachusetts to do theater. Anderson will star in Tennessee Williams' Camino Real this coming summer. Anderson made her Broadway debut in Chicago in 2022. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can stay up to date with all the latest news across Wisconsin, even what is going on in your community. All you have to do is subscribe to the Civic Media Digest. Go to our website, civicmedia.us/email. You can get top podcast hours of your favorite civic media shows, commentary from the civic media team, and find out what is going across the entire state network. Comes to your inbox every week, just like that.
Yep.
Go to civicmedia.us/email. Delighted to be joined by our friend of civic media and now in the running for the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Joe Zepecki. Is here. You look pretty good considering you've been gone for like all weekend traveling and putting on miles. How are you this morning, Joe Zepecki?
I'm feeling well rested.
Are you?
I got to sleep in my own bed for the first time in a couple of days.
Nice.
And see my wife, see my dog. Barely got to see the kids, but that's okay.
I remember what they look like. I remember them.
Yeah, no, it was a long weekend, but it was a lot of fun, a lot of support out there, a lot of fired up Democrats who are willing to get to work. So it was great.
I am curious now, as you are in the running for this position, and you do have some challengers as well. There are several people who want to take over from Ben Wickler. So how do you sell yourself? I'm just curious.
I just got to be myself is the only way I think it's worth doing. You know, this is not something I ever thought that was going to be the career path for me.
Seriously?
Oh, not in 100 years. I mean, right? I mean, think about how long we've known each other, Jane. Have I ever suggested to you that for a single second?
No.
It was my goal to be the chair of the Democratic Party? No, of course not. But to me, what ended up happening here is I tried to do what I always do, which is listen, take feedback, get different perspectives, and try to make an informed, smart choice. And, you know, this conversation that my wife and I and, you know, some friends of mine and some people within the broader Democratic Party and I started having back in January, when the assumption was that Ben was going to move up to the DNC and Wisconsin Democrats were going to have to figure out what was next.
Right.
And at that point, there weren't a lot of folks stepping up and putting their name forward, and there was some concern about what would happen. And so I, you know, told people I would think about it and have conversations about it, and I did. And then when Ken Martin became the DNC chair, I think we all sort of assumed, okay, well, Ben's gonna be our Ben for another couple of years,
right.
and that's the way we're gonna go. And then when he decided to move on, there, you know, were folks who immediately jumped into the race, who hadn't been considering it previously. And then there was my approach, which was to say, okay, now we've got a new reality. Let's do what we believe is the right thing, which is get back on the phone, get back around the state, talk to people, see what they think about where we go from here and what we need. And what I heard was more of an appetite for change and more of an appetite for the kind of background and experience and perspective and style that I have than, frankly, I had anticipated. And so after a week of kicking it around and thinking it through with folks about 10 days ago now, or maybe 11 days ago, I know it was a Thursday of that, I'm sure, we announced the campaign, and we did so in a way that none of the other candidates did, which was with day one support. These are the public endorsers who are willing to say, we're with Joe, we think this is the approach. And we very intentionally tried to reflect the diversity of our coalition, demographically, geographically, you know, Black, white, young at heart, like Jane, you know, urban, rural, suburban, you name it, you know, far left, you know, closer to the center on the ideological spectrum. We have a big, beautiful tent on the Democratic side. And I think if you go to joezepecki.com and look at that list of folks, which is now up to 27, and it'll grow again this week with some support we picked up over the weekend, you will see yourself reflected in the Democratic Party or your place in the Democratic Party by the broadness and diversity of the folks who are with me. And that's the coalition we're trying to build and we hope to build for the next 7 weeks, I think we have left, six and a half.
It's in June, right? The
June 14th. In Wisconsin Dells.
Joe, you mentioned it, regardless of where you are in Wisconsin, and I think that's an important distinction to make and an important point to make because, you know, the notion of Democrats, Madison, Milwaukee. But we have Democrats in Bayfield, Ashland, probably Butternut, you know, all over this state, especially farmers who I don't want to put them on a political ideological scale, but like, you know, this notion that farmers support Trump, but that's not always true. And we also want to find out how they're doing and how these policies are affecting them and the work that needs to be done to, you know, make their voices heard. And I think that's an important voice to highlight, especially in what you're talking about.
Amen. So let me tell you a little bit about where I was over the course of this weekend, because I heard from a lot of rural Democrats.
Did you? Good.
And you know, so I started in Baraboo, up in Sauk County, sat down. That's a pretty rural community. It's a pretty swing county in statewide elections. And we just did a little listening session, right? It wasn't anything fancy. It just, you know, some folks over lunchtime wanted, you know, were willing to come and ask questions and poke the bear. And, you know, so we started there. Then I went up to Hayward, Wisconsin, for a little dinner the night before the 7th CD convention, and had the opportunity to speak with a number of folks Saturday morning at that convention in Hayward before I busted down to La Crosse for the 3rd CD convention. You know, that's another pretty rural county. Of course, there are, you know, communities like La Crosse and Eau Claire, but there are also a lot of smaller rural counties out west.
Yep.
And then started heading back east, went to Madison for the 2nd CD convention. Obviously, Dane County, Madison, infamous, famous, insert your adjective here. And a lot of those counties around Dane in the 2nd CD are very rural. We're talking Greene, Lafayette County, places that feel much more similar to some of those smaller Western Wisconsin 3rd CD counties than they do similar to Dane. And so I heard over and over again all week that rural parts of our community and our coalition are not feeling represented, are not feeling seen, and are not feeling heard. And that's the most important thing, is we cannot afford to, in a 50-50 state like Wisconsin, write off any part of our coalition. Mm-hmm. And shame on us if we do. And so when people would say, hey, only 35% of the Democratic, you know, ticket statewide vote comes from Milwaukee and Madison, the other 2/3 comes from everywhere else.
Yep.
What are you going to do? And my immediate question back is, you tell me what we're going to do. This is part of the problem, is that folks in Madison have been just saying, hey, here's your rural outreach plan, whether you're in, you know, Vilas or Washera or Greene County, and assuming that it's the same everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not. We have to trust and listen to our local leaders to tell us what makes the most sense. And our approach as a Democratic Party has to be to go, okay, what do you need to execute? How can we support you so you can do the best job of that plan as possible?
Well,
and that's what we'll do when I'm chair.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but it seems to me before Ben Wickler came around, Democrats kind of had this attitude about, well, I'm not going to go to District X because it's impossible and I'm never going to get inroads there. So I'm just going to concentrate my time and my efforts in areas where I'm more likely to get a foothold. That's a mistake. And Ben really kind of changed that. It's like, we need to be talking to everybody.
Yeah, listen, this has been a ongoing debate within the Democratic Party for as long as I've been an adult. I think all the way back to Howard Dean and the famous 50-state strategy. And, you know, that was the 2003-4-5 era. And listen, different folks have different perspectives. Some people say you only spend and you only recruit candidates in the districts you think you can win. And I don't think that philosophy is worth as much as it used to be. That's the old playbook.
Yep.
The new playbook is you have to run everywhere. You have to field candidates that are willing to do the work. You have to have candidates that reflect the districts they're trying to represent. And when we do that, when we have a 132 district strategy across Wisconsin, 33 Senate candidates and 99 Assembly candidates, we do better overall, and we do better at the local level because we will have candidates who are saying it with their chest, who are unafraid to be Democrats and understand we don't have anything to be embarrassed about as we fight back against Trump, as we resist this administration, and as we build political power next year and beyond so that we can actually do things to clean up this mess and get to a place where the economy actually does work for working people again. That's the only way through this, is through it. So 132 district strategy, let's go.
I think also something that really helps the case for that is, once again, the election of Susan Crawford being such a not unanimous, resounding yes, and seeing that shift in those maps, as well as getting fair maps, seeing people run for office that 5 years ago, you're like, you're going to run for that office? That's insanity. But they're running hard. They may have lost, but they don't lose by much, or they win. So I feel like the past couple of years has really given your way of thinking momentum on how to, and give excitement to people who thought, well,
there's no chance.
No. It's really great to listen to and to hear you talk about this stuff.
Yeah. These are fights worth fighting.
Yeah.
And you know, from Susan Crawford to the new mayor in La Crosse to the pickups in school boards and town boards, April was very good. And what we need to do is make sure that 2026 is even better. We've got another court race coming up, and I want to remind folks, yes, the Susan Crawford win locked in control for progressives of the state Supreme Court until 2028, until August of 2028. And I say that to warn that there is a presidential election in November of 2028, and we do not yet have 100% guarantee that that control of the court won't flip back.
Yep.
And that perhaps Big Lie 3.0 would be at real risk. So next April, we're going to gear up and we're going to do it all over again to get Judge Rebecca Bradley off the bench and ensure that there are pro-democracy judges who understand that the will of the people is the law of the land on the court in the majority through the presidential election of 2028.
That's a really good point, Joe. I think a lot of people after Judge Crawford was placed on the Supreme Court kind of took a big breath and go, well, that's done. You know, now we don't have to worry about it anymore. And that's not true.
The work continues.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue our conversation with Joe Zepecki. He is in the running to chair the Wisconsin Democratic Party. We'll continue this question, this conversation on the other side. I want to hear what you heard from people when you were putting on 1,200 miles over the weekend. Joe Zepecki is our guest. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Weather and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. President Donald Trump launched a cryptocurrency meme coin with his likeness on January 17th, just before Inauguration Day. April 21st, with its value plummeting, the company offered top buyers of the coin a dinner with Trump and a personal tour of the White House. That likely violates the Emoluments Clause. The website for the meme coin loudly promotes a dinner with Trump at his Washington Golf Club for the top 220 owners of the coin, and for the top 25 owners, an exclusive reception and special VIP tour. But as of April 24th, any reference to touring the White House was scrubbed from the site. With the value having fallen from $74 to a low of $7.66 on April 17th, the price jumped after the announcement to $14.54 on April 23rd. But it's not the price of the coin that should worry Americans, but that corporations, special interests, or foreign governments could exploit the offer as an opportunity to channel money to the notoriously transactional Trump in exchange for access and favors. Jordan Leibowitz of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington told Mother Jones magazine, "This is about as unethical as you can get, essentially selling off access to the president," unquote. We have a pre-scrubbing graphic and more on the Emoluments Clause at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
"This is a type of blood cancer."
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10 o'clock news, Will Westmoreland is going to be back. He's got a channel on YouTube. I encourage you to check it out, called The Back 40. He's a farmer in southwestern Missouri, and we had him on a couple of months ago when the news about the Trump tariffs were first coming through, and he had reached out to a young farmer who did a TikTok and opened up a dialogue. And Will is a blue dot in a very red area, so we wanted to have a little update on what Will is hearing from his fellow farmers in southwestern Missouri. Joe Sopecki is here right now. He is in the running to head the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Did that spur something in you, what I just mentioned?
It reminded me of a thing I heard a couple times this weekend, which is the way to refer to those communities, those blue dots, is blueberries in tomato soup.
Oh, my goodness. I'd still eat those blueberries.
Blueberries in tomato soup. That's hilarious.
Wow.
When you were traveling over the weekend, what were some of the concerns, Joe? What are you hearing from folks who are on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, listen, people are afraid. They are scared about what is happening to this country. They're deeply concerned. They see the moves of this administration, and it is increasingly harder and harder not to use words like authoritarian. That's the reality. And so, you know, within the confines of the Democratic Party conventions and caucuses and the conversations that we've had, there's more conversation about where we go as a party than there is on the shared horror at what this administration is doing, whether that's deporting 4-year-old U.S. citizens with cancer or marching into a courthouse to arrest a judge before a grand jury has even suggested that there's probable cause for, right? And like, and again, I'm no lawyer. I'm sure there's legal stuff there, but people are concerned, and they should be, and they want to know how to fight back. And what I'm hearing about the Democratic Party is that multiple things are true at the same time. The first is that Ben Wickler has been a really, really good chair, that he has the state party in the strongest position it's been in a very long time.
Long time, yeah.
And at the same time, it is true that we need to get a lot better and do a lot more and function even more effectively. And when you look at the problem that way, you understand maybe it's time to shake things up a little bit. Maybe, you know, if losing to the worst person in America for two out of the last three presidential elections isn't cause enough for Democrats to say, you know what, there are no sacred cows, nothing is off limits, and we are going to do away with this notion that, well, we've always done it this way, is an acceptable answer to anything we're doing when it comes to how we communicate and how we message. And frankly, with how we organize and support our infrastructure. There's a lot of it that is working, but not all of it. And we can be better. And what I'm hearing is a real appetite among people within the Democratic Party to do things differently, because what we've been doing is not good enough. I often liken it to, and I describe it this way to folks within the party. You guys know this. Not everybody does. I've spent the last 7 years coaching high school football. We don't talk about meeting the standard. We talk about setting the standard. And we don't skip watching film and looking for areas to improve after we win a game on Friday night. We still lock in and look at the film and figure out where we can improve. Yep. And to any Democrat who thinks we don't have room for improvement, that we don't have things we can do better, even in the midst of after a 10-point victory for Susan Crawford, I'm sorry, that's not the philosophy you're going to get with me, and maybe I'm not the guy for you. And that's okay, right? But that's my approach to all things, and we need, I believe, that kind of approach right now.
Well, just look at how the Democratic Party polls. The numbers are terrible. And
we have a brand problem.
Yes, we do. And attacking sacred cows kind of leads me to a question that we have on the live stream here. Jake from Madison, a question that matters to me. Should Chuck Schumer be fired as Dem leader in the Senate?
That is up to folks like Senator Baldwin. She gets the vote on it. Here's what I will say, and here's what I think it speaks to. It is time for a new generation of leadership up and down and across the Democratic Party. When that happens, how that happens, who those people are, is not, I believe, the role of the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin. Mm. And so what I heard is frustration about leaders like Senator Schumer. I hear it. I see it. And if you, Jake and Madison, and 1,000 of your friends feel strongly about it, my advice to you is, use your voice, right? Let Senator Baldwin know that that's what you think. She's not going to hang up on you, right? Her office takes those calls. They listen. And that is what we need to understand, is we all have power and agency in this. And it doesn't mean that we draw bright lines and say, well, if the Democratic Party doesn't fire Chuck Schumer in the next 18 months, I refuse to vote against an authoritarian regime.
Yeah, that's not the answer.
In 2026. That's not helpful either. No. But use your voice. And what I'm offering is a new perspective and a new style of leadership than I think what we've had and what my competitors offer.
Real quick, we only have about a minute, Joe. What is the process to elect the new WISDEMS chair? Who votes on it? Can everyday people influence it? You have to be in the party.
You have to be a dues-paying member, WISDEMS.org, $25 a year. You have to be a delegate to the convention. You can do that at wisdems.org and then talk to your county party chair. And then you have to be there on June 15th. To learn more, go to joezepecki.com. Sign up. We'll make sure you know how to participate.
We will get your link in our show notes, joezepecki.com. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really appreciate it. Be careful on the roads.
Yes.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House marking the 100-day mark of President Trump's second term. Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says today the president will sign several executive orders focused on immigration, including one.
It will direct the Attorney General and Secretary of Homeland Security to publish a list of state and local jurisdictions that obstruct the enforcement of federal immigration laws.
An ABC News Washington Post poll shows approval of the president's immigration policy is roughly split at about 50-50, but that same poll found his overall approval's at a record low of 39%. The president's comments have become a key issue in the race for Canada's next prime minister. Canadians going to the polls today to vote, Liberal leader Mark Carney considered a slight favorite. The Vatican says the conclave to choose the next pope will take place May 7th, and opening statements underway in the trial of a former Grand Rapids, Michigan police officer charged with second-degree murder in a 2022 shooting death.